But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome in, welcome back, and congratulations to the back-to-back NFC North champions, your one seed, the Detroit Lions. A groovy Victory Monday starts right now. Burn, baby, burn. Double-digit disco and a statement win,
it's
John.
It's alive. It is certainly alive. I'm not sure I could take either of us seriously wearing this garb. So if you want to see it, you got to go to Twitch. Enjoy not just the audio that we are going to hear from Dan Miller, Dan Campbell, the entire, almost the entire roster of the Detroit Lions throughout the course of today, but you want to be able to see it on Twitch as well. It's 97.1, twitch.tv, 97.1 The Ticket. We went full disco, at least our version of it.
I was going to say, I have a sequined button up if you'd like me to add that to the mix as well. But I think this does the trick. The glasses, yeah. The chain, the disco. Yeah, we're here, guys. And you guys are welcome all morning long. 248-539-9797. John, as they say, belt to ass.
Yeah.
I mean, a dominant win for the Lions.
How about that secondary? How about that defense? That to me was the absolute story yesterday. And yeah, Gibbs, that's part of the story. There's so many different things. Anzalone being back, how impactful he was and how much better the defense played. I don't know if it was scheme, if it was Aaron Glenn, or it was Amik Robertson and his familiarity with Justin Jefferson, but that defense, especially in the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, was, you say belt to ass, that is exact foot to ass.
Sam Darnold, 1 of 8 passing in the red zone in the first half. Some of that is he was missing. Some of that is the Lions had sped him up. They threw his timing off, and that was a theme all day, and it's a masterclass by Aaron Glenn. I mean, think about it. We spent the weeks talking about you're going to have to win shootouts. It's 10-6 at the half, and the Lions have Aaron Glenn, Amik Robertson, who's not intimidated by Justin Jefferson, Alex Anzalone, Za'Darius Smith with a sack early in the game. The defense absolutely put him in position to win the game, and it was only a matter of time before the offense started to get going, and they did, and it's Jahmyr Gibbs, a 4-touchdown day. Like, John, we have a million ways to go with this football game, but the big takeaway is now the path to the Super Bowl goes through Detroit.
It's hard to believe from where this team began with Dan Campbell at 1-6 and the amount of crap that this staff and Sheila took at that time. And I always go back, and I know that they've played it on some of the national broadcasts the last couple of weeks, or really the last half of this season, from her talking about at 1-6. How they're going to stay the course, and the entire thing that she said about sticking with Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, and believing in them to where the Lions, the franchise, is now. And for those, I know that there were those that were at the stadium last night. If you're just waking up, you're probably still sleeping. But if you're just waking up, I want to hear what that was like. TJ was texting me just before the game. It was about, I don't know, 6 o'clock. He said the place was absolutely packed. And I want to know how you welcomed those 2,000 extra Vikings fans that were, the Vikings bought $2 million worth of tickets, sold them at cheap so that they could have a little bit bigger voice. Their staff could have a better seat. Welcome to Ford Field. And what was that environment like? And I mean, the season ticket holders that I've known for a long time were texting me last night. This is amazing. This is unbelievable. Two-time defending NFC North champs. The number one seed. This is where they have come from. 1-6 to now the number one seed, the bye week, which is so desperately needed. But the Lions, for the foreseeable future, until the Super Bowl, will be playing at Ford Field.
John, I don't think those 2,000 fans made it into the game. Because I don't know if you read some of the details on that. By the way, Vikings trying to do a nice thing, get their fans in there, give themselves a chance. Those fans, some of which, resold the tickets because they got such a good deal they could sell them for a profit. And it's so pathetic that Minnesota didn't even use all the tickets. I could see little specks of purple. They had very little presence at that football game.
Okay, so you're buying 2,000 tickets. They're not all going to be in one section.
Well, that was their thought. They're going to be road, like bench area. They were going to try to create a little bit of a bubble for their football team. It didn't go very far, the point, $2 million. Yeah. And then not all the Viking fans even bought in, which is a stark contrast to Lions fans who don't need the team to buy them tickets to go on the road and take over venues. Yeah. I mean, it's the team. It's this fan base. It's everything at the same time right now. And I said the path goes through Detroit. Let's talk about what that practically means for people. It means you get a week to rest up, and mm-hmm. and they could use it.
Yeah, Levi Onwuzurike, Terrion Arnold.
Zeitler.
Yeah, among those that are a part of the wounded Warriors, and now all of a sudden they've got a little extra time to heal up.
You get a week to heal. You'll then play the worst team remaining in the NFC playoffs. If you win that game, you will host the NFC title game. 8-2 the last 10 years, the home side in the NFC championship. You are then in the Super Bowl. Like, understand what last night really meant. Now, Minnesota's got to get up off the mat, go on the road. John, I'm not sure that they do. I was very unimpressed with their performance. And if that's Sam Darnold, they're not making a run in the postseason.
I mean, that was, I think you just saw the Vikings team that just ran out of gas. They ran out of magic. And whether it was, I mean, Justin Jefferson, can you just imagine? We have said this, and I know I've said it, and I still believe it. Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in the NFL. Now, you could argue Chase, you know, Jamar Chase, but what's amazing is both those guys came from the same national championship team. And you look back at that and it's just, you're in awe of how much talent was on that team. But Justin Jefferson, the best receiver in the NFL, 3 catches, 54 yards on 9 targets. Hello, Amik Robertson. Awesome job. And no touchdowns.
They were held out of the end zone for the entire game. A top 10 offense against what was left of the Lions defense, held out of the end zone. I saw a great video, and it was from the window of a plane, and it said this was the only touchdown the Vikings had in Detroit. 248-539-9797. We're having a good time today on a groovy Victory Monday, a double-digit disco. And John, the other storyline, the 15-2 Express has arrived. They won 15 games.
I know.
It's absurd.
It's to think that at 14-3, when Tom and I said that when the schedule came out, and we were, I mean, Tom, how much were we slandered for thinking that they could win 14 games? And we underestimated them.
Well, nobody does that in the NFL anymore.
Right, no.
They don't
win
14 games.
Yeah,
yeah. No.
And how could you possibly have 14 win teams at the end of the season? It's never happened in NFL history. I get that.
Right. I mean, they fulfilled the prophecy. You know, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And my feeling going into the game that there was a significant difference at quarterback, and you lost a turnover battle 2-0. Your quarterback didn't play all that well either. It was probably bad golf night, and you're going to get one of those every 4 or 5 games, and they got away with it. They outgained them by over 130 yards, first downs by 10. It probably should have been more than it was in some ways if the Lions' passing game was clicking a little bit more.
The game could have been over by halftime.
But the Vikings' defense showed up in the first half, and it was just a demolition, a disco demolition.
And but I want to be very careful. I don't think it was bad Goff because, there was a tip there. The one he threw that overthrew J-Mo, I don't know what was going on there, and I don't know if we heard last night, did they ask Dan Campbell, was that...
It was odd because there were two defenders, and even if he ran the wrong route.
Was it a
J-Mo
issue?
Yeah, I don't know.
Was it a Goff issue? Like, I don't know what happened in that play, but for the other moments, Goff was still throwing laser beams. He was amazing, and he was throwing laser beams when he knew he was going to get hit right under the chin. Just
bad Goff, I mean, relatively speaking.
Right, yeah, it's not perfect QBR Goff.
Right, exactly. And I thought the play he made, the pass he made on fourth down in fourth and five, when he was about ready to get killed, and he hit him in stride, and they got the first down there. That was huge. So it's not like he played a horrible game.
I think that play illustrates where Goff has grown since coming to Detroit. At the end of his time with the Rams, that play creates happy feet. The ball doesn't come out clean. Yeah. They don't convert. In Detroit, he's confident. He's composed. It's the unblocked guy. It's the quarterback's guy. And he knows he's going to take a hit. You got to be a tough SOB. You got to stand in and you got to deliver. One play later, they score a touchdown. John, I thought that was the other story. Fourth downs. That led to one touchdown. They scored another on a fourth down. And I thought Dan Campbell intimidated. His presence intimidated Kevin O'Connell. He stuffed him into a locker. They're trying to go for it early, even though they're not a team that does it. Then they're chasing later. Then they're kicking. They were inconsistent on fourth down, where the Lions have a clear identity and they put the pressure on you.
And here's the thing about going for fourth down, going for it on fourth down so many times. You create an awareness. J-Mo, the first fourth down conversion, first of all, his speed to be able to get across the field and Jared Goff to be able to deliver it. But you have to have a sense of how many times have we seen receivers not looking for a ball? I'm not talking about here in Detroit, but in football, not looking for a ball when the quarterback knows he's going to take a hit. He holds on to as long as he has, delivers the ball, and then the receiver is not ready for it. The awareness of whether it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, Gibbs, Laporta, J-Mo, to be able to understand the pre-snap look, read it, know that Goff is going to take a hit, that they've got to get to a certain spot as quickly as possible, but their eyes have to be on Goff. They have to be ready for the football. It takes all of that, whether it's coaching, it's awareness, it's hey, in the huddle, Jared Goff saying, you got to look quick because I know I'm going to take a hit.
There's so much to talk about after this game. We're partying all show long. Victory Monday for the division, for the one seed, for the path to the Super Bowl. 248-539-9797. Taylor Decker was spouting off a little bit after the game. We'll play that audio next. And don't worry, Dan Campbell locker room speech on tap today. It's 97.1.
It's time to celebrate our football team, our football season, and just football in general. America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience absolutely built for us, the sports fan. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot tall high definition screen. It's located at Circus Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
How about that Lions defense? Dan Miller's
story
call.
Story of the game.
It was.
Had no idea. I was. So many people text me throughout the course of last week, can the Lions do it? And I even text TJ. I was telling you, I was texting him before the game. At like 6 o'clock, I'm like, hey, what do you think, man? And both of us were like, you know what? The closer we get, I think this is not only going to be a win, it's going to be a blowout, but it's going to be well in the Lions' control. But and it was basically if the Lions could get a stop or maybe a couple of stops. They got four in the red zone.
Early in the game, Detroit converts a 4th-and-5, leads to a touchdown. Kevin O'Connell gets in the red zone. What does he got to do? He's got to keep up with Dan Campbell. It's the Dan Campbell effect. They don't get it. They don't get it, John, and then they settle for a field goal, and then you just heard another 4th down, and that was 4th-and-2, I think.
Yeah.
They go for it. They don't get it, and the Lions' defense.
To your point on Twitch.
Won them the game.
Kevin O'Connell is going to be checking under his bed for Dan Campbell for the next couple of weeks before going to sleep. The monsters that he is going to be seeing in his sleep, in his nightmares, it's definitely going to be something to do with Dan Campbell.
The coach of the year is Dan Campbell. 6-0 in the best division in football. Kings in the North. 2-0 head-to-head against Kevin O'Connell, who had a really good season. But coach of the year is Dan Campbell, who overcame 20-plus injuries to navigate this team to the best season in franchise history and the one seed in the NFC. He's the best coach in football.
Doesn't it feel like he just, like his will, sometimes you run into people where their will, it just, everybody breaks up against it. And his will in this division with the injuries and how hard, I mean, he was a little bit prophetic. Like, it's going to be really hard to get back here. Now, they're not to the NFC Championship game. There's still work to be done. There's one game to win before they get there because they got the home seed. But to be able to just pull this team along, no matter the circumstances, no matter the obstacles, you lose your best defensive player, maybe your best player on the entire team in Week 5, and you still end up winning 15 games and securing the one seed. What Dan Campbell has done for this team, he is certainly, I think hands down, should be unanimous coach of the year.
Texters, 248-539-9797, and we have open phone lines all day to celebrate this football team and what's ahead. Texter says the defense is the storyline. All week they heard they weren't good enough. They took it personal. That's Glenn in Macomb. Yeah, I think Alex Anzalone coming back was a huge part of that, too.
Oh, it sure was.
Texter says, guys, there's a real chance we go into the playoffs 100% healthy on offense. Talk about how injured the defense is, but that makes up for it. And another one says, we broke Minnesota. We played a C game on offense and won by 22. Let it sink in, people.
Yeah. How about this from Twitch? I got a couple to share with you. FBG25, Vikings coach is 14-1 versus the rest of the NFL, but he's 0-2 versus Dan Campbell. And here's another one about somebody that might have been at the game last night or just watching it like we were.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept watching and thinking, you know, could they just run away with this so I could go to bed? Or I was just going to stay up and celebrate the moment. Here's one from Stingray 1222. I got 3 hours of sleep. Have to drive a truck to Fort Wayne and back today. Probably going to be a 14-hour workday. The lack of sleep is worth it. Where the Detroit Lions gave a can of whoop-ass to the Minnesota Vikings. What an impressive win. So many people woke up weary-eyed this morning because they were either up late watching it and then you couldn't go to sleep because you were so excited about it. 15-2, one seed. Or you were at the stadium and you just couldn't leave.
See, I'm on like maybe 4 hours and it doesn't feel that way.
No.
It's euphoric. I mean, once you wake up and you're reminded, yes, this really happened. This team's 15-2. It's euphoric. 248-539-9797. Taylor Decker, we said we'd play some audio. He's been here from the beginning, the old guard. He knew they would win this game.
I heard that audio, but I didn't hear the beginning of it. I almost spit my coffee out. That's amazing. There's so many questions that we could ask our listeners, but maybe that's later in the week.
Maybe. And just a snippet. We're going to play Dan Campbell's full locker room speech later in the show, but just a snippet of how he spoke to the team after the game. Yeah, it's going to be one for the ages.
Yes!
You remember who the bleep you are! You're the champs. Back-to-back NFC North champs. All right, let's get to Heather's news.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So it didn't matter whatsoever that the Vikings spent millions of dollars on tickets for last night's game. The almost 2,000 tickets that they were able to purchase didn't even make a dent in the sea of Lions fans. You couldn't even tell they were there. Obviously, the news leading up to the game was that the Vikings spent $2 million on tickets on the secondary market so that their, you know, fans could buy them at a very low price, you know, as little as $200, right? So I didn't hear the story that Jim mentioned that they were all selling them.
Some
That's
did.
Most likely to Lions fans, which is incredible.
Oh, my goodness. They got a deal from their team and decided that it was a better offer to pay to sell them again for more money.
Listen, Minnesota as an organization, I think that's like a creative move. Bad form by their fans to not even take advantage of it.
Amazing.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Exactly. You might have seen this trending as well. The Home Bakery in Rochester is getting lots of love for their showcase, basically showcasing their love for the Lions. So they created a Lions-themed window display. It's right downtown Rochester, if you don't know what I'm talking about. So you can see the big window display from the sidewalk. And it featured a life-size cake of Amon-Ra St. Brown doing the headstand.
Oh, yeah.
And it's absolutely incredible. The bakery's owner says that the display will remain up until after the Lions win the Super Bowl. The cake was finished on Friday night after 160 hours of work, and the owner says everything in the display that you see is edible. So, like, they've created everything, and they say this time of the year is typically a slow time for the bakery, right? The holidays are over, everyone's kind of slowing down, so they're hoping that this Lions theme window will really kind of get people inside
it's
the bakery.
Amazing to me what true artists can do in their different fields, but obviously in baking cakes, to be able to put this together. If you haven't seen it, you got to find it. It is unbelievable. And the fact that, I mean, I don't know what they have to do to preserve it for, because it's going to be up for what, 5 weeks? 6 weeks?
Yeah, I don't know what goes into it, but it's super impressive.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really cool. Go check it out, or at least check out the photos for sure. Detroit police are mourning after a fellow officer was killed in an off-duty car crash over the weekend. 32-year-old officer Cameron Richardson had actually just finished a shift. It was like really late Sunday night, early Sunday morning. He was driving home when this crash occurred. The suspect and the driver of this other vehicle that hit him fled the scene. Several others who were in this van during the crash were taken into custody. Police do believe the driver, they know his identity, will turn himself in. But Richardson had been on the force for just over a year after serving in the military, leaving behind two young daughters. Parents were there for a press conference, described him as quiet, loving, and a funny individual. So very sad news for sure. United Airlines recently had to ban a man from flying on their airline after he allegedly peed on another customer passenger. This culprit, the suspect, was flying from San Francisco to the Philippines on December 27th. So a long flight, right? When he allegedly got out of his seat about 4 hours in, stood up and just started peeing all over another man. And the guy that he was peeing on was actually asleep at the time. He says when he woke up, he thought he was still like dreaming, like this.
Or nightmare.
What is happening? Turned out it wasn't a real life. That I guess the airline actually told this guy, hey, don't confront the peer. Like, we don't want any confrontation going on. Here's some new pajamas. Go get changed and we'll
How do you sure not confront the guy that was, you woke up, that was peeing on you?
I don't know. It's the first thing you would want to do, but they didn't want any confrontation.
Probably
going to
blame
on
it on Ambien.
Aircraft,
I had no idea. I thought it was the bathroom.
Sure.
Yeah,
for sure. That's exactly what happened, right? Took some Ambien or some sleeping aid, drank some drink, and whoops, look at that. Yikes, for sure. Finally, if you need an excuse to go donate blood this month, how about a chance to win two tickets to the Super Bowl? Mm. This is pretty cool. There are several blood drives over the next few weeks featuring a chance to win the tickets. You're also going to get travel to the game, hotel. You're going to get a gift card and other perks as well. Pretty cool. This is if you donate through the American Red Cross, you're automatically entered in the giveaway. There are some around here. Farmington Hills is going to host an event this Wednesday, January 8th from 8 to 8. You can go, and like I said, you donate blood once. You only get to donate it once. You're entered in this big drawing, which is pretty cool.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Lions fan, you woke up today, you go, I want to be in New Orleans.
Yes,
all right.
You do.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, your biggest takeaway from that game. Open phone lines talking about the Lions. Got it done. It's 97.1. Za'Darius Smith, first sack in four games, and we are boogieing.
A little debate on Twitch right now. Uh-huh. And you can watch and see inside the studio. You want to know what's going on? We got the double-digit disco garb going on. They asked me to put my shades back on because when Heather was talking, I like to be able to make eye contact, and she can't see our eyes. So I took mine off and put them on my hat. This one says, John, put your shades back on. Want to see if Costa looks better or you. And so there's a little debate going on Twitch is who rocks the garb better. We'll have to make sure Heather, when she's in studio tomorrow, she has hers as well so that we can make a true comparison.
Well, I've set it down right in her spot. Uh-huh. Maybe TJ will wear it later today.
We'll sanitize them for you, Heather. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Yes, the big fella. He might stretch out those glasses a little bit. I'm not sure they're going to fit his fat head.
But what is your biggest takeaway? And in open lines, 248-539-9797. There's so much to talk about.
To me, it's the defense, the red zone defense, to be able to make that type of stand repeatedly because the offense, it took some time to get going. I was a little bit disappointed in the offensive line and the protection of Goff early on. We knew that Flores was going to be bringing the house at times. He was going to have exotic blitzes, which he did. And Jared Goff knew there were times where he was going to take a hit. But the amount of pressure that he was feeling, the push from inside, to me was a little bit disappointing. But for the defense to stand up, that's why this is the greatest team sport, because you have 11 different individuals playing defense, 11 different individuals playing offense, and generally 11 different individuals playing special teams as well. And so there's no carryover. And you had a defense that has been absolutely ravaged by injuries. We've talked about it since week five, mm-hmm, when Aiden went down. To be able to stand up at those times against the best receiver, Amik Robertson was the highlight. I thought the way that he was able to limit Justin Jefferson, that's the story of the game.
I didn't realize he had known him since high school. These guys are both in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
He's played against him even in high school and college, and he wasn't going to back down. There's a lot of guys that look at Justin Jefferson, whether they want to admit it or not, they know they can't hang with him. Amik's confident. He's a dog, and he was great in the red zone. He dropped a near pick in the red zone, but he was all over Jefferson. They took him out of the game like nobody does in football. And then there's Alex Anzalone, who was all over the football, emotional, yeah, leader for this football team. How big a difference can he make? I think we saw, John, and I think the fact that Minnesota felt they had to keep up with Detroit, they went for it a couple times in the red zone, they left points on the table, and they gave their offense a chance to rev up. See, I wasn't panicking. I saw what you saw. I wasn't happy with up front, but I knew they'd get going, and they had them right where they wanted them when they had the lead at the half. I knew the offense would find the end zone a couple times, and the defense gave them a chance.
Yeah, and there's a lot on Twitch about Darnold choked. I think that's maybe part of it. I think he just was who he really is against the Lions defense. And then there's another one here that says, let's put that to rest. The Darnold is on Goff's level. I agree.
Yeah,
he's not on golf's level.
That drive drove me nuts, man. And I talked about it. That's why I thought the Lions would win this game and win it at least comfortably. There's such a difference in the quarterbacks. I thought there was a glaring stat nobody wanted to talk about going into the game. Darnold's QBR was way down with Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm, like around 20. Usually, if you're winning at the rate the Vikings are, your QB almost has like an inflated QBR. But it wasn't there because of his propensity to turn the ball over. I don't think he choked last night. I think he showed what he really is.
Well, they gave a bunch of good stats. He would hold the ball all season long.
Yep.
And I think that opened the door for him to get pressured. And then he was seeing ghosts again, and he's sailing balls. And while you could say he wasn't sharp and it was his fault, you got to give the Lions defense credit for speeding him up. Aaron Glenn had a great game plan where they were throwing pressures at him, trying to throw him off his spot. And then once they sped him up, they didn't even have to blitz the whole way. I thought it was a great job. Give him all the flowers today, Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, there's no question. There's another comment about the shades.
Yeah.
They look like hangover shades.
A little bit.
Yeah. Are you saying you're a little bit hungover?
It's not what I said.
Okay.
You know what? One thing I thought when I looked at myself with these ridiculous things on,
yeah,
and I'm bald, that there weren't many bald people in the disco era. And it almost looks like I'm trying to be Pitbull instead.
No, you look more like Telly Savalas.
I need a wig if I'm going to do this next time.
It doesn't have to be the last time. That's kind of the beauty of this is when this team kicks ass like this and wins by double digits, the disco's open. Uh-huh.
So what do you guys make? I love Campbell's initial, and we'll play the whole locker room, but when he said, it looks like we remember who the F we are. And I guess that speaks to the confidence that I have in this team, the trust. Every time you seem to doubt them, that to me, that's what the kneecap mentality is all about. You see Gibbs get completely popped, and then he plays a game like that. That could have rattled a young player. I mean, Collinsworth pointed it out on the broadcast.
Yeah.
It's just the will, and they spoke also of after the game about the three-year buildup to this, the 3-4 year with Campbell. Last night, everything was on the line that they have tried to get to for that amount of time. And to not trust this team thinking that going in with home field, I feel like we almost overreacted to the Buffalo game a little bit. The MVP came in here and played at an MVP caliber level. They knocked the Lions on, kicked them in the teeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lions tried to fight their way back in that game, but they didn't have many answers. But now you just see, like, we all know what Alex Anzalone is. He's just a good, solid football player. But they needed him. He made some really big plays early in that game last night that you just showed they didn't have that.
Well, it goes back to, you know, the moment that Dan came on and dropped the two F-bombs, right? It was you know, you remember where you came from, eating moldy bread. And now all of a sudden, hey, I think this team absolutely remembered what that was like, and they've responded. And you saw that response in full force yesterday against the Vikings.
I mean, I think like last night, you're going against a guy like Darnold who the first Jefferson red zone touchdown attempt, Jefferson could have caught that. It still wasn't a very good throw. The other one was horrendous. You can't count on that. So maybe when you're playing a better QB in the playoffs, game's going to be a little bit tighter, right? Because they get the touchdown. And I just thought everything that this team has dug in for, Decker referred to it, you know? It almost was a self-fulfilling prophecy for me this year. Does that mean they're going to the Super Bowl? No.
Sure feels like it, though.
Yes, it does.
You know what I mean? Sure feels like it.
I mean, it's just the stats are now in their favor. Percentages over history doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's about sitting at 80% right now.
It feels like greater than 50% they will play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's Allen. I don't know if it's Mahomes. I don't know if it's Lamar. It feels like they're going to be there in New Orleans, Bourbon Street, ready to play for the Super Bowl. The path goes through Detroit.
And as good as Gibbs was last night, early on, I thought they missed Montgomery a little bit.
Sure, and he should be back, and he could be back for their first playoff game.
And I do want to make this note. There's a high likelihood, this is not a guarantee yet, the schedule is not out, but that they're going to play the 19th, the Sunday, because all the NFC games are the last three games this coming weekend. And the fact that they could play the Vikings or Rams, they play Monday night. They are not giving a team short rest. Monday to Saturday, there's no way. So I would expect the Lions to play on that Sunday for sure, barring some wild stadium scheduling conflict that's going on somewhere else.
Let's get to the phones. You guys have a lot to say, and there's a lot to celebrate, and there's a lot to feel good about with this football team. Kyle in Farmington, you're on 97.1.
Hey guys, I just wanted to share a little special moment from the game yesterday. Yesterday in like maybe the late fourth quarter, they panned to Aiden Hutchinson on the sideline, and he was plugging his ears, and then he looks at the Jumbotron, and I've never heard a louder stadium in my entire life. It was absolutely electric last night.
Having him down on the sideline is great.
What I took from that, sure, for the team, it's great. But you're not allowed to be on the sideline unless you can get out of the way and defend yourself. He's obviously well enough to be able to move out of the way if something happens on the sidelines. I took that as an indicator. Again, I'm not sitting there, and he didn't say, hey, I predict to be back at the Super Bowl. He's willing himself to be back by the Super Bowl. But it was a great sign to me that, hey, if he's good enough to be on the sidelines, it's a great step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's great to have him on the sidelines. It'll be even better to have him in uniform.
Oh, yeah.
248-539-9797. We have overreactions coming up at 7:02. Some of the biggest storylines from the weekend, both NFL and some local Detroit teams that need some love as well. Open lines if you want to talk about our football team, 15-2, 6-0 in the toughest division in football. Back-to-back division champs, and the Super Bowl goes through Detroit. It's 97-1. We all start the new year off with resolutions, a better diet, you want to start working out more, but don't forget about your teeth. That's part of your health too. At Brightside Dental, there's no judgment. If you put off seeing a dentist in 2024, make a plan to get back and get to a dentist and see them. 1-800-PAINLESS, that's brightsidedental.com. 9 Metro Detroit locations, including the newest in Trenton, and that's the same thing they've been doing, personalized care, free of judgment. They're accepting new patients, $35 new patient special. And the big thing, if you have a dental emergency, you know how painful that can be. Brightside Dental offers same-day appointments. That's 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. How about them Lions?
Mm.
Truly something special happening here.
Something in every phase of that game. We're talking a lot about the defense, and especially the secondary, because of Hockenson, Addison, Jefferson, the way that they were able to stand up, especially in the red zone, where Minnesota had been so good. They were 60% touchdown conversion rate inside the red zone. And last night, 0 for 4.
They showed a stat that the Vikings had only gone for it on fourth down, you know, 10 times all season. They felt like they had to keep up with Dan Campbell. I think his presence, this team, they intimidated Kevin O'Connell into getting away from what they do. They didn't take points early. And then they kind of had to chase, and they're going back and forth. And I thought they lacked a spine. I thought Dan Campbell shoved him in a metaphorical locker. And I thought Ben Johnson got the offense going in the second half. Jared Goff, they did what they do against Brian Flores. They scored 30 points.
Yeah.
And they got there. It wasn't there early, but the defense gave him a chance, and the offense did what they do. They poured on. And this team has done this to a bunch of teams this season. But to do it to a 14-win team with everything on the line, I mean, that's as good as it gets, guys. Many of you were at that game, and I loved seeing Lions fans mocking the skull chant late in the game. I love Lions fans going, wait, where are these Vikings fans? Well, where's $2 million doesn't get very far, apparently.
Well, no. I mean, if you're talking about 2,000 tickets in what
is a 65,000-person
right.
stadium.
It's a small amount. But it's when you look at how both teams got the 14-2, they got there in different ways. The Lions played a first place schedule. And you, I think you could see that last night. They were a much better 14-2 team, now 15-2, number one seed, versus how the Vikings got there. How many one score games did the Vikings win? How many times did we come away going, they just won't go away? But it was a last place schedule that the Vikings were playing.
Yeah.
And
it's
so
true.
When you are tested, and I talked about this the last couple of weeks, when you are being pushed by the Eagles for that one seed, they eventually fell by the wayside. When you are being pushed by the Vikings and they just simply won't go away, you are forced to play really good football every single week. You are forced to continue to get better. That pressure is always there. And they stood up and they were counted every time they had to be.
It's remarkable. And again, not to belabor it, we want to get to your phone calls. The path to the Super Bowl goes through Detroit. I don't think it's at all should be minimized what that means. This team gets a much needed breather. They had a week 5 bye. They have a bunch of guys banged up. They get a bye. Then they'll face the worst team remaining in the NFC playoffs. And then they'll be in the NFC title game hosting it for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. They don't have to go on the road in the NFC playoffs. They don't have to play 3 games to get to the Super Bowl. And it feels like this team's going to New Orleans. Feels like this team's going to play for a Super Bowl. You got to go out and earn it, John. I know, yeah. Cart before the horse, but you have been on this from the beginning. You had them winning 14 games. And only did we get to November when I said, you know what? I think, Eric, you're a 15-win team. But the point has remained all year. This team has exceeded all expectations. And the goal is the Super Bowl. And they've done everything in their power to give them the best chance to do it.
And you mentioned it. The fact that Kevin O'Connell is probably having nightmares about Dan Campbell. And that game, the way that game went, Dan Campbell forced Kevin O'Connell to do certain things that he that are uncharacteristic. How about Ben Johnson against Brian Flores. When, I mean, he is undefeated against them. The fact that they were able to operate and continue to change things. And then you get down to a fourth down and you're thinking at this point, hey, Dan, just kick the field goal. Go up three scores. They get to the line of scrimmage and a hard count and the defense jumps. First down and you go in and score. Like that to me is, it's a mentality that forces the defense, whether it's coaching, it's Brian Flores, or it's just the defense out there thinking, we've got to get a stop right now. They're going for it on fourth down. They've sold us on that all year long. And then all of a sudden, it's simply just a hard count, and we'll take the first down.
And St. Brown's dance on that was spectacular.
Think about it, though. The fourth downs are a huge part of why this team wins. They had a fourth and five on their first touchdown drive that Goff stood in and made a big throw. Gibbs touchdown the next play. Their second touchdown was on fourth down, Gibbs catching the football. And then you're right, another touchdown later in the game was because of the anticipation of them going for it on fourth down. They capitalized on the extra down, whereas Minnesota wilted red zone, fourth down, critical plays. Team's built for it. 248-539-9797. We're going to play Dan Campbell's full locker room speech 7:18 this morning. Let's get to the phones. Marcus in East Point. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Man, you guys stole like all my points.
Sorry.
Right there. Especially the fourth down. That was classic Dan Campbell sticking O'Connor in the locker. O'Connor, whatever his name is, in the locker for real. And that's going to pay dividends the next time we play it. I mean, it's a whole season worth of that dude just making perfect decisions. And so many people doubting him. I don't hear that anymore. Everybody's riding the wave, and this dude is got his team playing so well. And I was really proud of the way Amik Robinson, he was in Jefferson's hip pocket the whole game.
Mm-hmm. He definitely. So that was go ahead.
That was an awesome performance. I want to say, because you guys talked about losing sleep. I'm in Grand Rapids already, so you know how much sleep I got.
Oh, man.
Jeez. Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't feel like it. Right? It'll hit you later today, but right now you're feeling jazzed up, right? Aren't you?
I'm so excited. I look forward. You guys know. I look forward to being able to call and talk to y'all. It makes my drive up here so much easier. And I got season tickets coming for next year. I turned them down this year, so we're really going to have fun next year.
All right.
Marcus, love it. Love seeing you on hold when you call in the mornings. Love being part of this.
I appreciate you guys. I feel like I know a bunch of celebrities, and I'm part of this too.
You are. You are. And that's every Lions fan, everybody that was there last night, everybody that was watching on TV, everybody really feels like this team, like they're all a part of it. And the way that the Ford Field crowd last night was a part of that game, affected that game. It was palpable, and I was just watching on TV, but you could feel it coming through the TV.
Justin in Clarkston, good morning. You're part of this. You're on 97.1.
How are you doing this morning, guys?
Good.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. One thing I wanted to add on to your guys' ideas about Sam Darnold and his bad efforts in the red zone is, let's not forget, they were inside the 10-yard line for two different drives, 10 different plays, technically nine because they kicked a field goal in play number 10. Mm-hmm. And they pass all nine of those plays, overthrow, overthrow, overthrow. At some point, you have to just feed Aaron Jones the ball. Now, I'm a diehard Lions fan. I love to see it, but, you know, Sam Darnold, he wasn't ready. I don't think the offensive coordinator was ready as well.
Yeah, I was a little shocked that they weren't more balanced and close, especially the Lions got the stop, Terrion Arnold, on a fourth down. It was like a fourth and two. I don't understand why they didn't run it on the third and two, because you might gain a yard and put the Lions in a fourth and one, and then you don't know. But they were insistent that Sam Darnold was going to find someone, and he couldn't, and he couldn't deliver, and he couldn't hit plays accurately.
Well, that's the difference of when you are used to going for it on fourth down, your players are used to it. It's a different play call that you call on third and five or third and four, knowing that, hey, if we get to fourth and two, we get to fourth and one, we're going for it. Like it's a completely different mindset and different call sheet that you're using versus, hey, third and five, if we don't pick it up, we're punting. So you're trying to call something that gets you 6 yards versus something that just gets you close to converting, and then you convert on fourth.
The Lions had a 3rd and 8 early in the game. They ran it and they lost yards. And I got a text from someone. What are they doing? You don't understand. 3rd and 8, they could pick it up as is.
Yeah.
That's how good they are on the ground. And they're also setting up potentially a 3rd and 3. Now, it didn't work, but that's the thought all season long, is they know they've got the 4th down in their back pocket, that they will go for it. And where other teams are playing with 3 downs, the Lions have said, hold on, I read the rule book.
Yeah, we get 4. Yeah.
248-539-9797. All right, we got some overreactions from the weekend, including a note from the Pistons and the Red Wings, storylines across the NFL, and more. It's 97.1.